Talking today with Tyler Norvell of the Oklahoma Youth Expo. 100 years, 100th anniversary of the Fat Stock Show, the Spring Livestock Show, Junior Livestock Show, Oklahoma Youth Expo, whatever you want to call it, 100 years of history.
Yeah, it's hard to believe it's been 100 years. Probably the funnest part of my job this year has been, not that I did the research, but being a part of the research, learning about the 100-year history, writing, helping write the book and get the pictures. There are some awesome, cool old pictures that we got from the Oklahoma Historical Society and the Oklahoman that are in the book that we'll be selling at the Oklahoma Youth Expo for $20. I wish I could hand them out, Ron, but I got a little expense in them. We're just trying to break even, but I think it's something that families will enjoy. But, you know, going back 100 years, I thought this was the case, but we made certain. But, the stock show started by the Oklahoma City Visitors and Convention Bureau, or basically the Oklahoma City Chamber. They started the show because they wanted people from rural Oklahoma to come to Oklahoma City and spend their money and be in the city and get to be a part of that. And our good friend Tom Gillum, who's been a part of a lot of Oklahoma Youth Expos, he always tells me, you don't forget, it's a big deal for these kids to come to Oklahoma City. And back then, that was a huge deal. That might be their only trip to Oklahoma City was back then. Of course, back then at the show, the big reason of the show was to teach people what the ideal market animal was. What was the ideal market steer? What was the ideal market hog? Later, what was the ideal market lamb? You know, because we didn't have the internet. You know, newspapers weren't quite as heavily circulated statewide. So they came to say, this is what we need to be producing on our farm. Mm-hmm. And now we've seen it evolve more to, we all know, you know, we have embryo transfer and artificial insemination, all these things and all these species. So the quality of livestock's increased, you know, the number of high quality animals. But one thing has stayed the same. It's always been about the youth and making young people better young people and teach them character and responsibility and life skills.
And, you know, all along the way, I know that to very, very, very early shows, 4-H FFA were a component of what was going on.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, I didn't realize this, but in the early years of the show, there was a 4-H show and an FFA show. They showed separate. And then they showed against each other, and it was highly competitive about who won, who got more grand champions and more champions, FFA or 4-H. And that's written about a little bit in the book, and I really didn't understand that. I didn't know that before. But 4-H and FFA have just been extremely important parts of the Oklahoma Youth Expo and even the Extension Service as a whole. And we just appreciate them so much because without them, we don't have a program.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about this this 100th year. You're in the process of working with the State Fair Park as they continue to evolve and build and construct facilities. They've done a really good job in providing you some top-notch barns to house these animals.
Yeah, the State Fair has done a tremendous job of updating the barns where the livestock are, and that phase is finished. You know, we don't have to deal with any construction problems where we house the livestock, which we have dealt with in the past. Now, one issue we're going to have this year, and everybody needs to be prepared when they show up, is parking. Could be challenging because they're building that huge, gigantic exhibit hall on the east side of the State Fair arena. So parking can be a little tough. We're working with the State Fair to have some shuttles for people where they park. That's always very frustrating for everybody because there's so many people there and you got to park so far out. But we're going to work with them because we want everybody to have a very positive experience on our centennial show because you only get one 100-year show, and this is ours.
Let's talk a little bit about the show this year. You've obviously gone through the nomination process. This is something you ask the young people to identify their animals early on and begin to do that traceability back of the animal is who that young person says. The nominations are in. Tell me about them.
Yeah, this year we had almost 21,000 animals nominated between sheep, goats, cattle, and hogs, in which 13,600 of those are hogs. There's 1,000 more this year than last year nominated. Now, the same number may show up, but just the fact that there's that many more on feed in Oklahoma is quite impressive. Every year I keep thinking it may go down a little bit because, you know, it gets more expensive to drive down the road, even though fuel prices are a little lower now, but feed's expensive, the cost of the pig. But families continue to commit to having their kids feed livestock and be a part of the program because they know what they get from it. And that really, it's humbling as the Oklahoma Youth Expo, and it puts pressure on me and my staff to make sure it is a top-notch event.
Now, speaking of pressure, as you came in just a few years ago, we were still around that, 1.2 million or somewhere in that area. You've raised the ante since that time, and this year you're shooting for a very high number of premiums and scholarships.
Yeah, the first year I started, our premium sale was at about $700,000, and last year it was at $980,000. We've committed to an over $1 million sale this year for the 100th year, and feel very confident we have that accomplished, barring a catastrophe between now and the show. Scholarships, we're going to get back up. We gave about $200,000 last year. We'll be at $250,000 this year. And total between the premium sales, scholarships, and other awards handed out, we hope to be at $2 million this year for the Oklahoma Youth Expo.
The number of activities that go on at the Youth Expo, I mean, it just seems like they've almost grown exponentially.
Yeah, they've gotten gigantic. For instance, our gilt sale during the show, where we sell the top 110 gilts between the purebred and the commercial show. 3 years ago, that sale was grossing us $200,000 between 110 head, and we were just fired up. The show continues to grow. The quality gets better. Last year, we grossed $330,000 on 110 heads. So, I mean, in 3 years, you've grown 33%, which is just awesome for those young people. You know, the Barra show continues to get bigger. The sheep and goats have grown. You know, 10 years ago, we didn't even have a goat show at Oklahoma Youth Expo. And now, look, we got 3,000 goats nominated for the Oklahoma Youth Expo. So, yes, every part of it continues to grow, from the scholarships to the money in the premium sale to just the sheer number of animals at the sale. And that helps all your local counties, you know, out throughout the state and their premium sales. I mean, the more kids you have involved, the more sponsors want to be involved. So I think it really is a trickle-down effect.
So tell me about how the sponsor response has been for this 100th show.
It's been excellent. Almost all of our sponsors have bumped their sponsorship up, you know, 5, 10, 20, 30% to be a part. And then we've added a few new sponsors that have come and been a part. OSU has stepped up their sponsorship a lot. We have just a tremendous relationship with Oklahoma State. And I'd say, besides 4-H and FFA, Oklahoma State's been as big a partner as we've had as anybody, because it's their professors and extension people that helped put the show on. And now they're starting to invest in the program in terms of scholarships and having some presence there as Oklahoma State as a whole. So.
One thing that's, I think, really noteworthy is the fact that as these young people come to Oklahoma City, participate, we've got thousands of young people coming, plus moms and dads and everybody else, but so many of them want to give back to the community as well.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people have come through the program and out volunteered at Oklahoma Youth Expo and then go and get a job, let's say at Chesapeake or Devon or some other company we may not know. And then we get a call and say, hey, we want to sponsor OYE. Well, how did you know about it? Well, I grew up in the program, and it meant so much to me. Now I want to help sponsor. And that's really been really rewarding. And, you know, another thing that I keep bringing up, things that made the show possible, it's the volunteers. I mean, we have 100 to 200 people that sacrifice their spring break to come put on the Oklahoma Youth Expo and get paid nothing besides long, long hours, very little sleep, and not very good food. And, you know, they're there continually year in, year out. And that's another thing that's never changed, is the volunteers.
Right. Fairly recent, we've seen some young people step up and say, I want to donate my animal to help hunger.
That's right. That's been a great program. It started, honestly, with our Diamond Hats, the group of women that help support the Oklahoma Youth Expo. They had the idea and thought, what if we got these young people, if they wanted to donate their market animals to hungry kids for the meat, and instead of taking the market check. And it's just boomed. I think last year, you know, we had close to 40 pigs donated to the food bank, and Farm Bureau's and the Farming and Ranching Foundation's been a great partner in that, because they'll take the pigs and pay for the processing and get them back. And Roy Lee and the Pork Council's been a big part of that. So it's been a great relationship. And now FFA this year with their chapters are doing that, and it's just been excellent. But I mean, more than anything, we try to teach the young people, you know, you've been given a lot of opportunities through 4-H, FFA, and the Oklahoma Youth Expo and other shows. When you get done, give back. There's others that aren't as fortunate as you, that their parents maybe can't afford to provide them a project and get them to the show. So let's help them out. And you know what? The kids want to do it.
Well, last question, Tyler. As far as, you know, 100 years under a belt as of this March, you'll have your 100th celebration. It'll be a great celebration. What's the next decade or two decades out there for this type of an event? Does it continue to grow, or you know, can it survive?
I think it can continue to grow, for sure survive. From a financial standpoint, we're on as strong a footing as we've ever been, and excited. The sponsors continue to grow. Just being very candid, you know, with the price of oil prices and it down, you know, that concerns you a little bit about the economy and where it's at, because when the economy's good, the show's good. When the economy struggles, it is a little tougher. But I think the program will always be here in some shape because it's too vital to our state and to the young people and to agriculture as a whole. But, you know, we continue to see more and more what we call non-traditional students get involved. Their parents don't live on a farm. You know, they may live in Oklahoma City, you know, but or UConn and El Reno, which are two of our biggest participants. Those FFA chapters are huge, and yet that's becoming a pretty urban area. But I think it will continue to survive because what the program does for young people.